All right, this will be my fourth message on the series of Prayer Focus. And as I've been speaking about for the last several weeks, I want to turn the first Sunday in April, which I think is April 7th, correct me if I'm wrong, first Sunday in April, into nothing more than just a prayer service. Now, I don't want to diminish that by saying the words nothing more, because I think a prayer service can get great things done. In fact, I think a prayer service will get mighty things done if we come with a sincere heart, an expectant heart, and a seeking heart. And so my very first question to you tonight is, why do we seek the Lord? Because He's worthy to be sought. Come on, folks. Why do we seek the Lord? He's worthy to be sought. That is the whole crux of the matter. He's worthy to be sought. If we do nothing else, He is worthy. And the thing is, we oftentimes seek His hands, what He can do for us, what He can give us, without seeking His face, which is who He is. Now, I love my children, but I would be very much displeased if all they wanted me for, and sometimes it is that way, all they want me for is what I can give them. Oh, you know, Dad, can I have the card keys? Or Dad, can I have some money? Or Dad, can I have this? And, you know, it's constant. Just, Dad, can I have this? Before even an I love you, or thank you, Dad, or something like that. You know what I'm talking about. Kids are like that. Sometimes we are like that. We are like that to our Heavenly Father. We ask for things. We're constantly asking for things. And there's nothing wrong with asking, because He told us to. But He started out His prayer. He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." We start out with adoration, praise. And then we bring it down. We say, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We're praying that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're asking for His kingdom to come down. And His kingdom is the gospel of Christ. Jesus Christ often said, "The kingdom of God is upon you." When He came to preach, He would say, "The kingdom of God is upon you." So I began to think, I thought, well, you know, we're going to set this time aside to seek the Lord. But then the question popped in my mind, do you ever wonder what God wants you to do? What's your purpose? What is your purpose? Well, there's an answer to that question. Now, you might be thinking, now, wait a minute. Maybe God's calling me to preach. Maybe God's calling me to teach. Or maybe God's calling me to mentor somebody. Maybe God's calling me to witness. Or maybe God's calling me, you know, for these other things. Now, I don't have that specific thing in mind. What I want to read to you from the scriptures on this business of prayer, and I'm going to go through this kind of quick, Ephesians chapter 2 and 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift." Remember that. It's a gift of God. "Not of works." You can't earn it. Don't even try to earn it. Yes, you do works. Yes, I'm going to show you that in just a second. But you don't earn salvation, and you never can, you never will. "So not of works, lest anyone should boast." But here we go. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." So your purpose in life is for good works. Okay? I don't know exactly what that means when you see and read this to you. I don't know what that means to you. Now, to me, I got ideas. I think I know what Jesus Christ wants for me, but we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared. Now, this one will blow your mind, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, or that we should do them. So in other words, God saved you so that He can show you these good works that He wants you to do that He's already prepared beforehand. Now, that's almost a Calvinist type of doctrine, which God knew way before that you were going to come to Christ, and then you're going to come and you're going to do these things for him. Well, there you go. You have to work that out in your own theology. But the thing is, God created us for good works. And so we're going to pray in our prayer meeting. We're going to talk about the things that God might want us to do. Now, I'm going to give some more specifics in a little bit about what the prayer meeting will be like. But before I go any further, I want to let you know that hopefully it's not what you would expect in a typical prayer meeting where we just simply ask for needs and pray over each and every person and then go home. No, I'm going to go over some things here in just a little bit, but what I'm trying to do is put us in a frame of mind as to who we are in relationship to who God is and what we're to do in relationship to who God is. See, very often we get it confused. We often think that God is our servant. We may not say that out loud, but we behave and we ask God, can I borrow the car keys? Can I have this? Can I have that? And then the list goes on and on and on. And so you're asking God for all these things, but you're not taking time to know him, to get to know him, or to say, I love you. Just to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you. I love you. I mean, how simple is that? But I get up in the morning, probably like most of us, and the clock goes off way too early for me. You have to understand what that means. Really, the clock's going off at its normal time. But it felt like the night was this short. The night, I'm only holding my fingers an inch apart. It felt like the night was this short. And I don't understand why. Sometimes I dream all night, have no idea what the dream means, and I ask God for interpretation of some of these dreams are spiritual. And I don't know the interpretation of them. And I watch them kind of unfold. And by the way, as an aside, and this wasn't originally part of the message, but if you do have dreams and spiritual dreams, write them down. I keep mine in I got a tablet. I have about a 14-page document that has dreams from Deronda, from my daughter Erin, from myself, and from other people. And I'm starting to see things unfold. This is wild. I'm seeing things unfold. Even though I haven't been given interpretation of dreams, I'm seeing things unfold right before my very eyes. I can't tell it all, but trust me, it's kind of not spooky, but it's just interesting that God, I believe, and maybe that's when sometimes he can get a word in edgewise. You know, when we're asleep. aren't most babies cute? Only when they're asleep, is what I heard one guy said. All babies are cute when they're asleep. But when they're up running around and making all kinds of ruckus, that's kind of different. But no, sometimes God gets a word in edgewise when we're asleep. So sometimes we get it backwards. We treat him maybe not on purpose, but sometimes we get in a mode of just simply asking for things and never really thanking him for things. And so we get this servant-master relationship backwards. And so one of the questions I even thought of, you know, if you wake up in the morning or maybe even after you get dressed and everything, you're traveling down the road, you can ask God, how can I serve you today? What can I do for you today? And just ask him. Just ask God, what can I do for you? And so Jesus puts this in perspective, and it's kind of weird that as I was thinking of this message, that this is the verse that came to me to use. Now, I'm using the New King James because I want you to hear it in plain language. It's had a couple of words in it in the King James. That one verse that said, I trow not. Nobody knows what trow not means, hardly. Some do, some don't. So I'm reading now the New King James. And Jesus is telling the disciples this after they asked him to increase our faith. It's what they said. Increase our faith. And so he said a sentence right before this, but then he went into this. This is the servant-master relationship, okay? This is us, this is Jesus, this is our Father. So he's talking about, and which of you, having a servant, pause, you gotta know it's not just a servant. Back then, a servant was a what, do you know? A slave. He had no say-so. That's what makes this blurb right here, it'll make sense. When you think of it, instead of just a servant, it's a slave. So we are slaves to Jesus Christ. So that word servant means that. And which of you, having a servant or slave, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he's come in from the field? Okay, so you got this guy out there in the field, and he comes in from a hard day's work, and you're the owner, and he's the servant, he's the slave. So which of you, when he comes back in, will say to him, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, see, you won't tell him to say, hey, you know, you've been working real hard. You come here and you sit down to eat. No. What does the master do? The master says, but will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me? In other words, put your apron on, put your serving clothes on, and serve me so I can eat. So his supper. And serve me till I have eaten and I have drunk, and afterward you can eat and drink. He's telling the servants this. He's saying that's what the master does. And he's saying, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? And in the King James, it says, I trow not, T-R-O-W. It simply means, I think not. In other words, I don't think so. Do you thank the servant for doing all the things he was commanded? Stop and think about this for a second. He's a slave. Not just a servant, he's a slave. He has no say-so. If he's out working in the fields and he's had a hard day and he comes in, the master can tell him to fix my supper, and after I've eaten and drank, then you can go on and eat and drink. That's how he's saying. And then you go, well, do you thank him for it? No, I think not. And this is how he's telling his disciples to be, and to us by extension. So likewise, you, when you have done those things which you are commanded, here's what you say. We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. So that's why I titled this message, Reporting for Duty. Are you here to report to duty? Because if you are, God's got some things for you to do. I don't know what exactly, but he's got some things for you to do. Those are the things you need to seek him about, pray to him about, talk to him about, and ask him, how can I serve you? What can I do for you today, Lord? You're the master. You see, that puts it back in perspective. He's the sovereign Lord. Who are we? Servants. What's also a servant? A slave. We are slaves to Jesus Christ. So Jesus puts this in perspective when he says this. So that's why I titled this Reporting for Duty. So in this, getting back, and you're probably wondering, well, how does all this tie into prayer? Well, prayer is a duty. It's the way, and I don't quite understand why God set it up this way, but it's the way God gets things done on this earth, is through people who pray. People who pray, he will give them. He's a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. We read that last week. Okay? We got to believe what? That he is. That he exists. We said this last week. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not just for his hand and what he's got, not his stuff, but for him. But for him. I think when you start seeking him, it's like Jesus said, I think, in one of the Gospels, seek ye first the kingdom of righteousness. Or how does it go? Yeah, and then all these other things will be added to you. So seek him first. He knows what you have need of before you even ask him. So right now, some of us here, I think, are probably seasoned veterans of prayer. You probably know how to pray, and you probably think I'm off my rocker a little bit on talking about learning how to pray. But all I'm really talking about is not learning how, except so much as changing a little bit the way we go about it. In other words, I used the word acts a moment ago. There's several acrostics, little acrostics. These are, you just give some letters and they actually mean something. Acts, adoration. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. S, supplications. That's when we ask for things. So we got that adoration. We got the confession of our sins, of our faults. And so we got all this stuff. And so you might think about, well, wait a minute. Okay, so we're going to get started next week. So how's this going to happen? Well, first of all, I don't exactly know. I have a vision in my mind, and I think I know what we're going to do. And I'm going to talk about some ground rules. But at the same time, I want us to make it what we call, I hate to use the word safe space, but I want you to be comfortable in coming. I do not, and this might sound strange, I don't want you to be uncomfortable to come to a prayer service. That would be going against the grain. That's not what we want. We don't want you to be uncomfortable coming to a prayer service. So I'm going to ask you for things, but you don't have to feel obligated to participate in those particular things. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand? This is a guided, think of it as a guided tour. Okay? That's the best, probably a bad example, but the best example I can give you. It's a guided tour. And I'm going to try to help guide it. But the Holy Spirit is ultimately the leader of this entire prayer thing we're going to have starting this Sunday, next Sunday, and every first Sunday afterwards. We're going to have a guided tour, and we're going to do certain things within our prayer time. You might be asking yourself, oh my, how long is this going to go? You know, please don't tell me it's a 3-hour all-night prayer service. You know, we're not there yet. I don't think I would ask you to be there yet until I felt the Holy Spirit was leading us there yet. We're not there yet. We're in learning mode. So this is not a marathon. We're not giving out prizes to who can pray the best, who can pray the longest, who can say the most spiritual type words. What did Jesus say about words? You remember? Did you have it? You're not heard for your much speaking. Right, many words. You're not heard for your many words. That's the way the Gentiles did it. They would say things over and over and over and over and over. Now, the Pharisees had this habit. They liked to be seen being from men praying. We're not going to do that either. We're not going to focus on any one particular person, not even me. Okay, I'm just going to be a participant, just like each of you guys. And I pray that you do come. Don't be scared off from whenever you hear the words prayer meeting. Don't be scared off. The first one may not go like I planned, and I hope not, because I hope the Holy Spirit will just overwhelm us. I do. I hope the Holy Spirit will overwhelm us. If He does, when God's moving, oh, it's so beautiful. You know something about that, don't you? When you went to that OCI down there in Cleveland. Is that right? Tennessee? Yeah, well, the Warrior Fest. I forgot what it was called. I've actually seen it on TV, some of it. He does that Warrior Fest. Perry Stone. But anyway, when you start seeking the Lord, you don't know what's going to happen. And that's the exciting part. But I'm also kind of nervous. I don't want to say anxious because the Lord said don't be anxious. But I'm a little nervous because I really do want God to show up. I want God to show up and I want to see fruit. Oh, I want to see so much. I want to see so much. I don't want to just hear about stories. But I want to see for myself. Absolutely.
We passed it up when you said, the Lord said, to ask diligently.
Yeah, seek diligently.
I think that is one of our problems. I think maybe we come to Him maybe a couple, three times, and we don't get what we don't see what we ask for. You know, He said diligently, and that's over and over and over and over and over if necessary.
If I had the time, and I may take it in bites, I don't know about this, but if I had the time to tell you all of the places in the Bible where they got together as a group to pray, and God moved mightily. Yes, did God move mightily when individuals prayed? Absolutely. Absolutely. But sometimes you learn to pray as a group, and then you can take that home with you and learn to pray at home. See, your prayer closet is not just, I know in the war room it's talking about one single closet for one single person. That's not really what is meant by a prayer closet. A prayer closet back in the days of the King James was a room to go in to meet with whomever. So when dignitaries would come to see the king, they would go into the king's closet. They called it a closet. It was a special room where the king met with the dignitaries. We plan to come to meet with God. And I'm glad you brought that up because sometimes it takes years. Sometimes it takes years. Sometimes God will move on something that very same night. We don't know. That's the exciting part. We don't know what God will do. So anyway, without going too much further, I want to give some ground rules of what's going to happen next week. And I just sort of threw these together, but I don't want you to think they're written in stone because they're not. First of all, looking at our crowd tonight, we're kind of spread out, aren't we? Okay, it's kind of difficult to have a good prayer meeting with everyone spread out. So when we actually do have a prayer meeting, you don't have to bunch up side by side, no. But we do want to come in a little closer, a little forward. We want a closeness about our group. Okay, so that's one thing. We want to gather close and not spread out. We're going to mix into the prayer meeting different things. Start out maybe having songs. At least to take up the offering, we'll have at least one song, but more than one probably. One of the things I hope we can have, so be thinking by next week, is maybe one or more testimonies of what's called God stories. Now, I don't want you to tell a story of what happened 20 years ago. I want you to tell a story that God did something for you starting from today till next Sunday. Okay? If God did something special for you and answered a prayer for you, I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear how God answered that prayer for you. Not something He did years ago and not something He did for your Aunt Sally three times removed, for you or someone very close to you. I'd like to hear a God story. And some people, and I'm one of them, tend to be more visual. That's why you see me use the projector a lot. I like visual cues. So when we do things, some of us are more audible. You can understand it. You can know what to do just by hearing it. Me, sometimes I got to see it. And perhaps several of you are like that as well. You have to see it. You have to see it in action before it really gels, before it becomes and it starts to make sense. So we're going to have some things that are like that. Songs, testimonies, with God stories, visual cues, and clips. And another thing we're going to do is I want you to bring your Bibles. Bring your Bibles. I will try to have this ready also, but God may lead you to have us pray in a certain direction from a scripture. We're going to pray from scripture. How do you know you're praying God's will? Well, if you pray from scripture, you are praying God's will. And if God has a promise in there for you, and you read that scripture and you pray that scripture, you're not telling God what he said. He already knows what he said, but he's letting you know that, hey, you know about this promise, and you're coming to him saying, God, this is what you said, and I'm praying it back to you. And so that you can, he understands that. He knows that kind of language. You want to know what God's will is? Pray his scripture. If you want to pray God's will, pray scripture. So bring your Bibles. Bring your Bibles. Because the purpose of all of this is that I'm not going to be up here giving you cues and everything without it being scripture fed. In other words, we always begin our prayer service with the Bible open. That's how it will always start. The Bible's got to be open. It'll be scripture fed, spirit led, and we will be God-centered, not man-centered. Not ask it. We're not going to start out asking for our stuff. Okay? We're going to start out asking for what God wants. How do you know what he wants? It's in the scripture. I'll have some scripture, and maybe you will too. I don't know. Be thinking about that this week. So scripture-fed, spirit-led, God-centered. Prayer guides, prayer models. You might have experience already in praying the scriptures. Maybe you don't. For those of you who don't, I will try to model it for you so that you know how to do it. And so when you do this, you'll be able to take it home with you, and you'll be able to do the exact same thing in your own home for whatever need, whatever situation you have going on. And I'll tell you right now, based on what the Bible says, that God will move in those situations. When you pray his scripture, when you rely on him and trust on him, he will do what you ask. I don't know if he'll do it in the time that you ask, but he'll do it. So prayer guides, that might be just something on how to get started. Prayer models, that might be an example of somebody, might not be me, might be one of you, who can lead a prayer into the way that we're going to do it from scripture. Again, we're going to work all this out. And we want to pray, and this is partly why I'd like to everybody to get closer. Again, you don't have to sit in each other's lap, but you know, I want you to sit closer and more toward the front. Because as we pray, I want people to hear. Some people are veteran prayers. They can go out here and they can pray for hours. Some people can do that. Some can't. They don't know what to say. They run out after 2 minutes. But if they hear you praying, they can learn from that. So that's why I want a little bit of closeness. Again, you don't have to be right on top of each other, just closer. But if you're not comfortable that praying that way, this is the safe part I was trying to explain. You don't have to do that. You don't have to pray out loud. You don't have to raise your hands. If you feel like it, raise your hands. But you don't have to do any of these things. So pray out loud if you can, if you feel comfortable with it. And if not, pray silent. And it's okay to stand. If you read the Bible, you'll see that prayer came in all kinds of postures. I can remember when David, after all that incident with Bathsheba, remember when she was having a baby? Well, the baby was, and God told him ahead of time, baby was going to die. Well, David, he laid down in the floor, flat on his stomach with his arms out. That's called prostrate. He laid down in the floor prostrate, and I want to say for 7 days. Now, whether he stayed down there for 7 full days, I don't know. probably had to get up and go somewhere once in a while and then come back. But for 7 days he laid prostrate and he fasted. Why did he lay that way? He was humbling himself before God in a way that was as low as he could go. And he laid down on the floor, flat on his stomach, on his face, with his hands stretched out, and the baby died. And the sad part is, the people were standing off to the side talking about the baby, talking about how we're going to tell David, how we're going to tell King David. Well, David heard him whispering. So David said, "The baby is dead, isn't he?" And they said, "Yes, King, he is. He's dead." So he got up. Guess what? God answered the prayer. Not the way David wanted, but God answered the prayer. So David got up, washed himself, and anointed himself. And they were so curious. They said, "Oh, wait a minute. While the baby yet lived, you didn't wash, you didn't anoint yourself, you laid down on the floor." And he said, if by chance he thought the Lord would have mercy and let the baby live. But the baby didn't live. And David said, "He can't come see me." And this is the part I love. Amen. He said, "But I can go see him." Yeah. Praise the Lord. "He can't come to me, but I will go to him." So David was okay. They just didn't know that. He was seeking God with all his heart and soul and strength. And still it didn't work out as he had planned. But then when it finally was over, he realized that the baby can't come to me. I can't, but I will go to him. I'll see him. So it's okay to stand. It's okay to sit. It's okay to kneel. It's okay to walk around. Some people pray, and you might notice when I preach, I kind of tend to walk back and forth. It's like I can't keep still. But you can walk around and pray. There are some days, I don't know if I really should tell this or not, but I will, when no one's here, and it's the middle of the day, Sunday, and no one's here, just like in the day of Jericho, what did they do? They walked around the city 7 times. If it's a really cold day, I'll walk around on the inside of this church 7 times, praying out loud. And by the way, you pray with the eyes open. Or you're going to trip over chairs. You pray with the eyes open. It's okay to do that. It's okay to walk around and pray. It's okay, I mean, talk to the Lord that way. But when the days were nice and not so cold outside, I'd bundle up and I'd walk around the church 7 times, asking for the Lord to tear down the walls of hearts that were stony. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, "I will remove that heart of stone." What is a heart of stone? That's people who can't be moved. They can't be moved in any way. And he says, "I will remove that heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." Something that can be touched or that they can be touched and be sympathetic. And he said, "I'm going to do that." And so sometimes I do that. Sometimes I walk around the church and I pray that God will tear down these walls of stone so that people will come to God. So anyway, you can pray with your eyes open or closed. Prayer service is only guided only. It's not a show for me or for anybody here. It's not a rigid service where, you know, it's going to be open to what the Holy Ghost leads. We're not going to let anyone take over the service. But we're going to let the Holy Ghost lead. If you have something that you feel like God is leading you or talking to you, raise your hand. We'll notice you. Hopefully we'll notice you. And then we can do whatever it is that God has you. So if you want to testify. But here's the important thing. We want you to be a participant. Participate in this service, in this prayer service. Don't be just a spectator. Too many prayer services are just being people sitting back watching other people pray. Well, that's not how you learn. You learn by doing. Everybody knows this, right? You learn by doing. And so we're gonna sometimes maybe break off into groups. So when we have needs to pray for, we may have 3 or 4 seats up here, and several of us may be in a group, and pray for that particular person. We may even switch, I don't know, and pray for those needs, all those different needs that people have. There will be a time for praying for our needs, and it will come. So the format we're going to use probably is going to be what I told you was like Acts. That's adoration. That's the hallowed be thy name part. Confession. Oh, a lot of people don't like confession. And let me say something about confession, folks, before you get too scared. If it's something very, very, very personal, don't confess it. Confess it to God, because I don't want anybody here spreading any rumors or anything else. Unless you trust that person, if we were, say, two by twos, and you trust and you say, this week I haven't been good at, and you give it out, and it's something very, very, very personal. I'm trying to think of examples, but I'm afraid to say them out loud. Like I've cheated on my spouse, okay? That's personal. I wouldn't be doing that in a group setting like this, okay? But confess your faults. Where do I get that? Comes out of the Bible. James, he talked quite a bit about prayer. He said in chapter 5, verse 16 in the King James, he said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Why? That you may be healed. Not only healed in your body, but healed in your spirit, healed in your mind. That you may be healed. And that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He's talking about in a group setting here. This is not, or, okay, think of it, when I say group, it could be two. Where two or three are gathered in my name, who's in the midst? Jesus, he's in the midst. And so we may have periods of time where somebody will all of a sudden be touched by God and will be convicted by the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to use you two as an example. And you'll lean over, maybe Angie, you'll lean over and tell Pam that God's telling me such and such. And then Pam, I want you to just lay hands and pray. Now, when it comes to men and women, and we pair up, unless you're husband and wife, it will be pairing up with men with men to pray for each other, women with women to pray for each other. That's the way we'll do it. And then when we pray for needs, if there's going to be any laying on of hands, we ask permission first. We ask permission. Can I touch your shoulder? Can I put my hand on your shoulder? If you're okay with that, you realize some people don't want to be touched. We may have some here. I don't know. So, but usually when my eyes close, I have no idea. But we ask permission first. We'll touch the head, touch the shoulder maybe, but that's it. We want everything done in a proper and orderly manner. So confess your faults one to another. In other words, God wants us to be real to each other, okay? I have faults. I have all kinds. There's some that are worse than others, okay? Sometimes I get angry too quick, okay? That's one of my faults. I get angry before I know the full situation. I get too angry. I don't know why. Certain things just tend to tick me off. They really do. And sometimes it comes at the worst time. Like I might have had a hard day at work and I come home and whatever that thing is, it's just ticked me off. And now I'm fussing at the kids, I'm fussing at everyone and not realizing that I'm being such a meanie. Okay? I need prayer. I need prayer. Oh God, prevent me from doing things like that. I don't want to be that kind of man. I want to be a man who knows how to love. And so then we get to the part, so we already said adoration, confession, and then there's that T and S, thanksgiving and supplications, okay? There's a scripture, and you can argue which order everything comes in, but we're going to close with this. We're going to close with this scripture right here. In Philippians, you have to understand, Paul was in jail when he wrote this letter. It boggles my mind. He was in jail in Philippians, in Philippi. So he wrote this letter, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be worried, okay? Don't be anxious. So be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, that's asking for things, with what? Thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. See, that's the part that gets left out oftentimes. See, I could have read the scripture this way. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. That's not what it says, is it? With thanksgiving. So we thank the Lord, and then we ask the Lord, let your requests be made known unto God. And God will move for you. And I'm hoping He will move in such a mighty and powerful way. If you would, please stand. As I give the final prayer, afterwards, if anybody wants to be prayed for, we'll be so glad to pray for you. Thank you for coming. I pray that you will, one, pray for the Cottage Bible Study, I think I heard it called. Cottage Bible Study, pray for that. Pray that God will move in a mighty way next week. I don't know how and when yet, but I plan to fast and pray. If you can, great. I'd love for you to at least pray for the next service. Pray for all the services. Don't just pray for the next one. Pray for all the services, that God will do wonderful things in the service. So Heavenly Father, as we get ready to walk away from here, I pray, God, that we have learned some things, learned that there are ways that we can pray, Lord, and pray back the word that you will hear and that you will answer. And so, Lord, as we learn about praying back scripture, praying back your word, praying back the promises of God, that you will hear and that you would answer in a very special way for each and every one of us. Yes, we have supplications. You told us to ask for our daily bread. And Lord, we will do so. But Lord, we will do so with thanksgiving. We will praise you. We will adore you. We will love you, Lord. We will seek your face before we seek your hand. And so, Lord, starting now, I pray, God, that you will give us God stories for this week. We will pray for each other. We had a prayer list tonight. I'll take home with me. And Lord, we pray for these things and that maybe we'll come back next week with some God stories, something that God has done specifically for us and ours through the week. So we ask all these things for the glory and for the sake of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. And the congregation said, Amen.